We coming.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Soulja Boy, tell me.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott, and I am freaking jacked up about this weekend, about the game finally being here. Football season is finally here. I'm very excited about it. Can't wait to watch Tigers play on Saturday. I think they're going to smoke this team, but we'll get into that more later. I have some guests with me also that I'm very excited about. The two OGs of the Dome Patrol podcast, the godfathers of the Dome Patrol podcast, Mr. Jeff Montague. How are you doing, Jeff?
What up? What?
Okay.
Oh, I think I'm good. Yep.
And we also have Jason. Jason, welcome to the Tiger's Den. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Sitting next to this jagoff right here.
Hey, that's me.
Yes. If you haven't listened to the Dome Patrol show that we did, I guess it got published yesterday?
Published yesterday.
Jason Thursday. Is up staying with Jeff while he's waiting for the power to come back on from Hurricane Ida. Hope that happens soon so he can get to go home and enjoy his house, I guess. Cause it's always fun getting away, but it gets old after a while being not home. You always want to kind of get back home. So, and we definitely, thoughts and prayers to everyone down south and really actually up north in the east right now who are suffering from Ida's wrath, from flooding and tornado damage and wind damage and all kind of stuff. So wish nothing but the best for them. But we are here to talk a little LSU. So in case you weren't aware, LSU has a football team and they are playing.
You wouldn't have known that last year.
Wouldn't know that last year. The year before you would have known.
Is this a Bishop Sycamore podcast?
Bishop Sycamore? No, this is not a Bishop Sycamore. We actually have a team. We have a school. And we were playing UCLA tomorrow night, or I say tomorrow night, we're recording on Friday. So Saturday night at 7:30 at UCLA. I think that it here is going to be a very large LSU contingent.
Do you really think that?
Yes. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter that are traveling to the game. And UCLA, just LA football in general, doesn't usually garnish a lot of crowds.
Aren't they giving away tickets to high school kids and stuff?
Yes, UCLA is. Like, they could have given those to LSU, and LSU could have sold them, but they were, like, giving high school. If you play high school football, they will give you a ticket. They're literally giving the tickets away for free. You could never do that in Baton Rouge because the games are all
sold out. There's none to give away.
Right. And there's just so much to do in LA, and people just, I guess, aren't that interested in football. You know, there's just.
Well, I think some of that too is they don't want 50,000 LSU fans to show up at the stadium, because I guarantee you that would have happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
how often, you know, when's the last time LSU played in LA?
I couldn't even tell you.
Right. Me neither, but I know it's been a long time. So to me, some of that is just, yeah, they don't want it to be a pro LSU crowd, because I guarantee it. It wouldn't. You know, a lot of people obviously planned this in advance. Now with the state of the New Orleans airport finally starting flights again today, and you know, some people had damage, maybe they decided not to go, but I'm sure a lot of people from Baton Rouge are still going.
Yes there are. I definitely think you'll see a lot of purple and gold in the stands, which is, you know, obviously good.
If I lost power and water and I had a way to get to that game, like, why not? I mean, right. What are you going to do? Sit at home in your no power house? You might as well go to LA and watch an LSU game.
Exactly.
Or go to Jack. Well, no, that's next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I think there's going to be a large LSU fan base there. So, you know, We really haven't talked to you guys about the upcoming season, but let's kind of, I guess, specifically talk about the first game. What are y'all, is there anything particular y'all looking for or want to see out of this game?
I want to see how the defense rebounds after the disaster that was last year. Obviously getting rid of Pelini, it's going to help a lot. And this team overall, they lost so many guys from 19. So a lot of guys get their experience last year. Yes, we struggled 5-5, but a lot of these guys that are here now also got the experience last year. So that should help. And just bringing in these new coordinators, I'm really looking to see how the defense responds. I mean, we got all, the top cornerback tandem in the country. But how's the run defense? How are the defensive linemen? UCLA did run for a lot of yardage last week. Now, granted, it was against Hawaii, but they ran the ball really well. So I want to see how our defensive line stacks up against this, because apparently this quarterback thinks he's got the best O-line in the country.
Right.
UCLA.
And I really think that the defensive line is going to be, and stopping the run is going to be the probably most important thing in this game. If you watch any of the UCLA's game against Hawaii, like Jay said, they ran well, but when they tried to throw the ball downfield, their quarterback was highly inaccurate, overthrowing, underthrowing, throwing wide. I mean, you do that against LSU and you're going to get picked very easily, especially with these top two corners. So if they shut down the run and make this guy throw, I think he's going to have problems.
Now, wasn't LSU's defensive's biggest problem last year against the teams that just like constantly attacked and move the ball fast downfield? And isn't that a signature of Chip Kelly, kind of a constant motion, just fast-paced attack, just like death by a thousand knives kind of feeling? And that's the question of like, is our new defensive coordinator capable of correcting that? And maybe not even correcting it, but just making it less of our weakness.
Right. And that's kind of the unknown. Like, I almost think you have to, when you're switching coordinators like that, Bo Pelini was such a disaster and the defense was historically bad, like college football historically bad, that you don't have to tweak much, I don't think, for it to really improve. And I think they have a lot of people coming back. And I think that it's going to be improved. Like, towards the end of the season last year, you could see the improvement. They simplified things and you could really see they weren't thinking as much. They were more reacting and playing. And when they started doing that, that's when we started winning some games.
So when these defensive coordinators, and it happens in the pros too, because it happened to the Saints, like with Spags, like they want to get cute with this complicated defense. They want to try to outwit the offense, but we kind of talked about it on the Dome Patrol show about the, attitude. You got to have that dog attitude. That's got to come first, I think, for a defense. Like, a defense should just like cut loose, get aggressive, and just attack. And you can't ask these guys to think too much. And that's not to say that they're not capable of thinking, but when you make them think, you slow down their attack, I think. So, yeah, I think Bo Pelini just tried to get too cute last year.
I agree. And kind of like I said before, I think that if we make them one-dimensional and slow the running game down, that they're not going to be able to throw on us.
I mean, yeah, DTB. What's his DTB?
DTR. And kind of going, yeah.
GTL.
To the thing that Jason was talking about, this guy, Dorian Thompson Robinson, who's the starting quarterback at UCLA, he took questions about the buildup to the LSU game. DTR is what they call him. He mentioned that LSU fans had been blowing up his social media accounts all week and dispelled the notion that LSU was a major favorite. Quote, LSU folk acting like they're 20-point favorites over us just because they're SEC. All I'm going to say is that SEC patch on their jersey ain't going to help you on the field. It ain't going to save you from getting hit and pushed around on the field. I'm not too worried. I believe I have one of the best O-line in the country.
First mistake is thinking that it's about the patch. Okay. It's not that, you're right, the patch isn't going to help LSU. It's the experience of playing in the SEC, playing against quality opponents week after week after week, their entire lives, versus UCLA, who plays against freaking Hawaii who I think Hawaii actually lost to Bishop Sycamore.
Allegedly.
In an exhibition match, allegedly, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know how many games UCLA, you know, they're out of conference schedule. I don't know what it's been like the last few years, but I can guarantee you they're not playing a team with the kind of talent LSU's got.
Right. I mean, maybe I could give you, like, if it was USC and, you know, they play Oregon.
Well, like USC does play, like, they play Notre Dame every year. And as much as I rag on Notre Dame, they're still decent. I mean, they're better than UCLA is.
So UCLA schedule, LSU, this is this season, Fresno, Arizona State, Oregon, that's a tough one, Colorado, USC, and California, Cal. So, you know, not necessarily, I mean, there's some good games in there, but UCLA, I don't think historically, at least not recently, has been really that, you know, successful with football. I'd have to look at their
not over the last few years for sure. You know, even though they got Chip Kelly, everybody thought that was going to be the magic that they needed to get back, but they've really kind of been very mediocre, you know. So I mean they are one of the better you know, out of conference games that LSU will play. Like, I'm glad they, you know, they scheduled it, and they've got USC coming up in the next few years. It's going to be fun for these guys too, to get to play in the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl does have a bunch of history. Now, whether these guys really appreciate Rose Bowl history or not, who knows, but to play in a venue like that, that a lot of these SEC teams, guys never have a chance to play in. I think that's going to be pretty special. And I think they're really going to be up for the game.
Yeah. So last year they were 3-4, 2019, 4-8, 2018, 3-9.
Yeah.
2017, 6-7. So they haven't been above 500 since 2015.
That's the reason we're favored by 20 points.
Yeah, but he's not worried about us.
Right. Good.
DTR is not worried.
Good. Don't be worried. One other thing I'm looking at, you know, I'm curious if any of the LSU running backs break out and kind of really, really take control, or if it's going to be another one of those committee years, which it seems like it's been the last few.
I really think it's probably going to be more of a committee approach, which I'm not necessarily against. You know, it gives you a chance to get fresh legs in there. But the problem is, and Coach O has talked about this, is that, you know, their two main running backs, Tyron Davis-Price and John Emery, have been hurt a lot during camp and really haven't been able to practice a lot and haven't really stepped up. You know, neither one of them has separated themselves, and they're not doing that great.
So was it Kiner's expected to play, but
Kiner,
Armani's hurt, right?
Yeah, Goodwin is hurt. There's another guy, Josh Williams, who is a sophomore, who Kevin Falk apparently loves. And he was a walk-on, a very good high school player, was a walk-on, got hurt his freshman year, came back his sophomore year, and just from practice and spring practice, not even playing in games, he earned a scholarship, which is, like, hard to do just from spring games. So, actually, LSU's only a 3-point favorite.
Huh.
Is the spread that I'm looking at right now.
Interesting. I would pound LSU.
That's what I mean. Said.
Some of that's the homer in me, but I just feel like
I told Gunn this. I never bet Saints or LSU just because it's too much of an emotional bet. Like, I would bet like a season thing, like over and under win total, but like individual games, I couldn't do it. Like, it would drive me nuts. And Jeff has known me, and so, like, I'm very excited. I really, really think that LSU is going to blow this team out of the water. Like, I'm thinking we score 40 plus points, and they'll get like a late touchdown, and they'll score like 17.
How is UCLA's run defense?
Okay, so their defense versus Hawaii looked good.
Okay,
so I can't, you know.
So there, we don't know.
We don't know.
It's hard to really judge it.
And, you know, for them, one of the pluses they have is that they do have a game under their belt. So that first game jitters kind of gets out. You kind of work out some things that maybe you – but if you think
LSU's got new coaches too, like
they do, but I have to think that the LSU's been practicing against themselves, basically. I have to think their practice squad players or whatever are better than Hawaii is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, right. So I have to think that the coaches are going to have them prepared. Now, also, you have to take into account LSU was displaced from Ida. They went to Houston, kind of like the Saints went to Dallas. They went to Houston, and they flew out from Houston to Los Angeles. So they haven't been home in probably a week. So, you know, I don't know how much that weighs on them or not.
I feel like that kind of stuff probably affects pro players more than it might affect college players. Like, I mean, this is a bunch of college dudes, right, whatever, like a vacation for them.
Right.
Or what, or a retreat, you know, if your coaches treat it right, you can really use this as a team building activity. Right.
And maybe it helps them get more focused to where they don't have the distractions of being in Baton Rouge.
Right. Right.
Leading up to game week.
So yeah, I know that's a storyline. That's part of the narrative. I don't think that affects them as much as just the fact that they don't have an actual real time game under their belt where UCLA does. And it's kind of like, just like Sean Payton's talked about, like preseason, their first preseason game, they use as much for the off-field activity as it is for, you know, do we have our substitutions right? Is everybody paying attention? Nobody's doing interviews on the sideline, you know, that comment. Right. So it's just the communication pieces that are a question. Now, the other thing is Max Johnson. You talk about, like, what are we curious to see? I'm curious to see how he plays, because what, all off season until your boy went fishing.
Well, I mean, I think he's been at a high level. That job, when Miles Brennan got hurt, that job was still up in the air. They hadn't said who the starter was going to be.
Okay.
So he was still competing to start. The speculation was that it was going to be Brennan just because he's been there longer and knows that system better. But, you know, when you have a sophomore pushing you for starting position, that's pretty good. I think a thing that he brings that Brennan doesn't is that he can run a little bit. He's got some escapability. And can contribute in the run game, where if you go maybe, like, I don't know if they'd run an option or something, but it's always, you know, a possibility that if somebody's not open, he can take off and run.
I mean, I do remember hearing that he does seem to have good command of the offense, which is good. He does have the experience of going into a hostile environment and getting a win where we were massive underdogs, so that's going to help. And you know, he seems to be able to rally the guys. So he's, you know, the guys definitely are going to follow him. So that should be good. Yeah, I mean, it is going to be interesting, because all reports were that Nussmeier looked good too.
Yeah, and, you know, after Brennan got hurt, I think Nussmeier really dialed in even more, knowing that, hey, I'm the next guy up. All it's going to take is one hit and I'm going to be in the game. And so he's really stepped up and gotten the command of the offense as well. I hope it doesn't come to that, because you never want a freshman starting, you know, no matter, you know, when you got people above know how good he is. So maybe we'll get a big lead and then maybe get Nussmeier in the game. I don't know. That would be nice too, to get him some playing time. I think that the games after this, you know, we have, Central Michigan, and I think McNeese are the two games after this. So, you know, maybe Nussmeier will get some playing time in there. I do, kind of like you said, I do like the fact that we are playing UCLA, kind of a bigger school, and not just like some kind of little cream puff team the first week. It kind of helps us with our schedule. I mean, if you look at, you know, some I was going to talk about later, but like one of the big games this week is Clemson and Georgia. And if Clemson, after Georgia, Clemson's schedule is like garbage.
It's nothing. Right.
It's nothing.
It's a junior varsity schedule.
So if you lose to Georgia, yeah, can you come back from that playing against a bunch of cream puff teams?
I know it's the big thing, because they shouldn't, because they really played nobody, but they do have the history of being a previous champ and being one of these.
Yeah, and their quarterback. Yeah, their quarterback's gone.
Right, and did one of these? You know, there are one of these big time programs. But to me, right, I mean, they shouldn't be they don't deserve to be above other teams that have had to play tougher opponents.
Right.
Like they avoid, like they don't have to play North Carolina this year. They don't have to play Miami, I don't think. And even, you know, we say these teams, I mean, like they're decent, but
they're not the greatest.
Yeah, like the rest of their schedule is just trash.
And what's funny is that Sweeney's the one that like rails on like Alabama for playing some of these cream puff teams in the middle of the season, or these other teams that are getting into the playoffs. And you look at his schedule and it's like, who the hell are you playing? You know, kind of thing.
Right. I mean, they have been the benefactor of playing in a piss poor conference where Florida State's been down, Miami's been down. You know, I mean, they don't play a ranked team other than Georgia.
Right. But yeah, I'm excited about this. You know, I go through phases right now. On Friday, I'm usually in the excited phase, like we're going to kick their, you know, we're going to kill this team phase. And Jeff knows by like Saturday, I'm going to be like, I don't know, I'm nervous now. Like I start like texting, oh,
conspiracies.
I'm nervous about this game. Yeah. Nervous about this game. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I get very nervous as we get closer to game time. Well, I'll go watch College Game Day in the morning. And then they start talking and it's like, oh God, you know, maybe I didn't think about this or I should have, I don't know. I just get nervous, but I am.
The thing is the game is not going to be perfect for it. That's the key. Like as you're watching the game, not to get frustrated, especially in the beginning of the game, going back to the fact that UCLA has a game behind them, just experience. LSU does not. We have new coaches. I think LSU is going to make a few mistakes in the first quarter that are going to piss off Twitter. I think Scott's going to start to give up, but I think LSU's still a bit better team and they're going to fix it. And in the long run, that's why you play the full game, not just two drives. That LSU is going to do their thing in the second half. And they're going to, I think they're going to run away with the game. Literally. I think they're going to run the ball down.
So you expect to run the game to be good.
I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to, I don't know. Maybe it'll be a balanced attack. I really don't know what to expect because I haven't seen these guys play together with this coach.
Yeah. The whole offensive line is coming back. So that's a plus. I think the whole defensive line is back as well. Defensive line is supposed to be a big strength. So if you have a good defensive line and we have two best cornerbacks in the country, I think it's going to be tough for anybody. Aren't we,
like receivers are good too.
Yeah. I mean, we've got Bouti.
At least after. Yeah. Who are the guys that are going to play after Bouti?
All right. So there's Jenkins. Let's see. Jonchel Kirkland. Jack Besh was a wide receiver that they converted to tight end. So kind of like Juwan Johnson. Jontre Kirkland, Coy Moore, Trey Palmer, and Alex Adams are the wide receiving core. Bouti's only a sophomore. It feels right. Like he's been there forever. But Jenkins is a junior. Kirkland's a senior. Moore is a sophomore. Palmer's a junior. And Adams is a sophomore. So there's no freshman wide receivers.
Huh.
So, you know, I think they'll be able to get open. I don't know. UCLA, like I said, their defense looked good, but again, it was against Hawaii. So
Jerry?
Yeah.
Jerry is 6'4". Dang.
I mean, look, like all these dudes are over 6. These are big receivers.
Tall, yeah.
Big fast.
They're all 6'6", except for him. He's 6'4". So they're big, tall, fast. Obviously, we're going to have to run the ball to set up the pass, probably play action. So
did you know this? Jontre Kirkland, one, he's from Lutcher. That's around. They got some damage from the storm.
Yeah,
huh? But he's lined up as a defensive back, as a wide receiver, as a quarterback, and also is willing to play special teams. He's our Taysom Hill.
He is. He's our Taysom Hill. That's awesome. Well, and he's a senior, so I'm hoping that, you know, Max is slinging it all over the place. I definitely think if we, you know, we brought Pete's in and the passing game coordinator in to replicate what Joe Brady did. So hopefully they can do that. If that's the case, I think we'll be all right. So, do you have a score prediction for this game, Joe?
I don't think we're going to get 40 on the board. I think it'll be 38. LSU. to give me 28 UCLA.
38-28. That's a little close. 10 yeah. points. All right. Jason?
I was going to go 34-20.
34-20. I'm assuming LSU.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Oh, Jesus. Is he going to do a 50 burger?
I was thinking about it.
We ain't playing McNeese, man.
I'm going to go 47.
Wow.
To 24.
Wow.
I think that
defense that good.
I think they'll score a late touchdown when we have our scrubs in. They'll score some points and make it look closer.
How many how many defensive touchdowns are we gonna have?
Defensive touchdowns?
Yeah.
Hell
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe one.
You have a pick six or
we'll get a pick six, but I think we'll have I think they're gonna have like 2 to 3 turnovers.
Yeah, that should be a recipe for a victory.
I would think so. I would hope so. It's knock on wood. Like I said, I'm positive now. Tomorrow, I'm gonna be nervous as hell. But anyway, and you know, I'm just happy in general that college football is back and football in general is back. We have the NFL starting up next week. They had some college a full slate of college games last night. The biggest one probably being Ohio State and Minnesota. Ohio State won 45-31. So it was a little bit closer than it probably should have been.
Yeah.
But there are some, you know, decent games this week. Actually, there's some games on Friday night. North Carolina, Virginia Tech is a good one. Michigan State, Northwestern might be decent. All right. So North Carolina, Virginia Tech tonight. That's the big one. Saturday, Tulane, Oklahoma. Game was supposed to be at Tulane, but is now moved to Oklahoma because of the storm. That would have been awesome to have Oklahoma in New Orleans for that game. But 19 Penn State versus 12 Wisconsin. Alabama versus Miami, number 1 versus number 14. Indiana and Iowa, 17 and 18 matchup. And let's see. There was that big one. Oh, Georgia and Clemson. So now,
correct me if I'm wrong, but LSU, I feel like LSU was one of the few teams that started this thing of playing a big team on your first game in order for obvious reasons. And now it seems like a lot of teams are doing it because they realize they have to if they're going to compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But like it does feel like because like you said like Alabama and Miami, it's like Alabama didn't always do this. Like LSU's been doing it longer than them.
Yep.
Oklahoma, well, they're starting with Tulane. Never mind. Clemson.
And Clemson.
Yeah, they're doing and Georgia for that matter.
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, I don't know. It just feels like it's becoming like you're gonna start to see like opening weekend of college football is gonna have these big title matches.
And especially if you're not in the SEC, because the SEC plays such a tough schedule that if you just play your conference games, you're not going to be able to compete when it comes to the end with the SEC.
Right.
Yeah, that's it now. And with the updated, you know, playoff format that's coming now, it really matters. Like a single loss doesn't kill you like it would have necessarily in the BCS. Because, you know, if you lose to the number 3 team in the country, like they're going to look at it. It's like, hey, like at least you did it. Yeah. Depending on like, unless you got blown out, if you competed, that's going to carry a lot of weight.
Right. And especially if you do it at the beginning of the season, like the first game, if you're playing a number 3 team and you only lose by like 3 points or something, and then you go on to win the rest of your games, that's going to look better.
Right.
You know, for the committee or whatever. And for you, Jeff, Northwestern State is playing North Texas.
Oh.
6:30 on ESPN3.
Who will be the king of the North?
So that's a game. And of course, LSU at UCLA. Just, you know, looking forward to it. Can't wait to see it. We will have a full recap of the game for you guys next week. So I'm
this is the first this is the first time the Tiger's Den gets to really immerse into LSU football. Because last year, I didn't start the podcast until later.
Yeah, I think it was like during basketball season, right? When basketball season was kind of getting kicked
in. Oh, is it that late? I couldn't remember.
I think so. I don't remember really covering any football games.
I think, I kind of remember that too. Like when
I think
you
we maybe talked a little bit about it on the Dome Patrol show, but
yeah,
not
so. Yeah, this is like the inaugural football season for the Tigers.
I'm so happy you said inaugural. Trust me, some people say first annual.
Oh, yeah, nothing can be first annual. That's not.
No, it's inaugural. Like, drives me crazy.
The second year is actually the first annual.
Yes.
If you want to get technical about things,
it drives me nuts.
And my wife, is this year's playoff still four teams, or did they expand it this year?
This year's is still four teams.
Okay.
Yes.
They can't take it. The new one can't. I don't know when it's going to take effect. I know it's not this year.
Okay. And the SEC is still
14 teams right now. Texas and Oklahoma aren't supposed to come in for a few years, but a lot of people are thinking like next year, but it's going to be a weird situation. They just think they'll pay the fine to leave and they'll come in next year.
They might.
They'll make more than enough to pay for it.
Right.
I'm sure they might. They might do that. And hey, let them go.
The SEC may pay the fine for them.
They want to be in the bottom of the league. Let them go. That's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to have to step up just like A&M did, you know.
But look at what it did for A&M.
Yes.
They're ranked number seven now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like, I mean, A&M's been solid, but they haven't been able to get over the hump.
Yeah. No, and where's Missouri?
Oh. Missouri's way down there.
Yeah, Missouri. You probably shouldn't bring up Missouri as an example.
Okay.
Vanderbilt,
Missouri. Well, it's an example of what the –
I mean, 47, better when they were in the Big 12.
Yeah. Who came in? Missouri and
A&M.
Missouri and A&M.
Yeah, it was A&M. Yeah, it was A&M.
Yeah,
that's right. So, yeah, they can come on. But looking forward to watching College Game Day tomorrow. I got my shot today, my second COVID shot, so hopefully I'm not sick all day and I can enjoy watching some football. I'm really looking forward to that, just kind of vegging and watching football all day. So, but anyway, thank you, Jeff and Jason, for coming on the show. I definitely appreciate it. Like I said, we will have a recap of the game and a preview for the next game next week. And that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts for free, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show. The Dome Patrol podcast, we put out an episode a couple days ago. Make sure you go listen to that. The BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tiger's Den, which you're listening to now. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger _ podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem or Preem. We're saying Preem now.
I like saying Preem.
Preem. Follow us on Facebook and Twitch, coming soon for live streams at twitch.tv/ Dome Patrol podcast.
You can just say slash.
I could just say slash. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking dash.
You're showing your age.
I was thinking dash slash. I don't know. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, you can always go to Dome Patrol podcast.
Dad, come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, tiger donkeys.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown, run up the score, make Mike the Tiger stay.